The word for this morning comes from the gospel lesson that we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew. When you read about a small child being snatched away or tricked into getting into an automobile to be taken by someone, maybe lured by a molester or someone who is hooked with a pornography ring, it makes all of us want to cringe. Because we do not understand that that would be anything beneficial at all. We also feel a same kind of hurt if someone would tell us about a teenager who just got enticed and lured into trying cocaine. And after a few weeks, he found out that his life was hooked on that. But there is some sort of relief when we believe that there might be a turning back of that temptation in some cases, or possibly if the tempter himself is done in. We know that tempters and temptations are very real. We deal with them in our day-to-day lives. In fact, we are all engaged in a regular battle and struggle with the greatest tempter of all himself, the devil, aren't we? In fact, our text, our gospel lesson reminds us of that this morning, and we all come into this chapel service today bearing some scars that have been left in our lives by the evil one himself. Hopefully that raises a very important question for every one of us. Are we then living and believing as though Jesus did indeed go face to face with the tempter himself, and that he conquered him for you, and that he provides exactly what you and I need to live for him? If you do realize the severity and the reality of Satan's pull and deceptive lure into your life and into my life, and we understand Christ's complete victory for us in spite of all of that, what does this mean for you as a student, as a prof, as a spouse, as someone who is a guest here today? As you hear the gospel lesson this morning, and you visualize in your mind Jesus making those steps and walking that way toward and into the wilderness, into that very fierce and frightening place, you know that this is no coincidence of a thing. This is no accident that is taking place here in Scripture. But then that's always true with Jesus, isn't it? Nothing ever happens by coincidence or accident. He knew precisely what he was doing all along. He never stumbles into anything. It happens by the will of God. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, it says. That happens not too long after his very baptism that took place. And he went into this wilderness to wage a war, a genuine war against the tempter that you and I could never begin to wage, let alone win. A war that went on for 40 days and 40 nights without any substance. The reality of Jesus' temptation has to say something to every one of us and remind us of our struggles, of our times with the tempter, times when we have, in fact, caved in and given in. Sometimes, in the face of our own stupidity and the risk of trying the evil foe's ideas, we've gone ahead and we've tried some of these things ourselves. And we say, that too makes us sick. That too makes a person's heart ache. What a foolish thing to do. Look at those three temptations that Satan used to bait Jesus. Turn stones into loaves of bread. That sounds like a good idea, right? Satan would like every one of us to think that we can more or less take control of our own lives, and that the primary need in our life really has to do with things that affect the being, the physical being, and our stomach, and not the soul. You've had that happen, haven't you? The pull to look to your own ability, your own IQ, your own professional finesse, your own occupation, your own ability in some way or another. We've all done that. I know that I have. We can be led to live as if we don't really know, or as if we really don't need God, until some really extreme situation comes along, some circumstance that requires some special kind of intervention. The second temptation points out the peril of exposing ourselves to unnecessary dangers under the pretense that God will always come running to our rescue so that we never suffer any personal injury. Jump, why don't you? The angels will catch you. Go ahead and run that red light. Go ahead and take a chance with your life. See if you can beat that train one time. Go ahead and take a chance with your morality and go with that person even though you are a married one. Jesus comes along and says that the answer to that is that man should not ever tempt God. Third temptation, the one most natural to man, is his lust for power and glory. The temptations of Satan really begin to change and mount from 1 to 2 to 3 in the depth of their appeal to our human nature. They move on from solving a temporal situation by ourselves to the appeal of a phenomenal power that's almost divine. Do you notice in this text here that Satan says that he can offer to Jesus something that is already his? And so Satan can come and appeal to us and our desire for power and influence by tempting us with the delusions that we can somehow manufacture a personal, a political, a financial, a religious empire for ourselves, and we can substitute temporal things for the real and eternal things that God brings us in Christ and His eternal kingdom. So what is a person to do? Ignore the tempter? Throw in the towel because he is quicker than we are, he is a bit sharper than we are? I don't find that Jesus did that. I don't find that Jesus ignored him. He met Satan, and he met him head on with the Word of God and with his baptismal power. And when he did that, he defeated Satan. He turned him back. And his victory accomplished for every single one of us exactly what we needed through the Word of God and the gracious power of God. And in all of our temptations, we too can repel Satan with and only with the very same means that Jesus used. Our strength to resist the tempter is Christ Himself, the very Logos of God. He gives Himself to us in His life-giving Word and sacraments that we receive here today. Our Lord comes and He assures to us that He fully loves us, that He really means business when He says that He cleanses us, that He pardons us from our sins, and that even one little word of His can fell the tempter again and again and again. May your hope rest entirely in Christ Jesus, your Lord, who is victorious in the wilderness and on the cross for you, so that you might have a reason for being here today and serving Him tomorrow. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep now your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.